in the special instructions on gifts of tongues and prophecies. The seventh, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits comes from the Greek diakrisis, pneumaton. The Greek word diakrisis is defined to discern, to discriminate, or to distinguish. The verb form is used in Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul uses the verb several times in 1 Corinthians. In 6:5, he uses it to question in regard to dispute, whether they had anyone wise enough to judge between his brethren as to who was in the right. In 11:29, Paul uses the word to reproach the Corinthian brethren who had not discerned the Lord's body. Discern the meaning of the communion bread for bodily health and healing. Quite clearly, the gift of discerning of spirits is the capacity to discern the source of a spiritual manifestation, whether it is the Holy Spirit, an evil spirit, or merely the human spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul says, "Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the others judge, discern, diakrino." This seems to infer that someone with the gift of discernment should be present when the gift of prophecy is used. Apparently in Corinth, the gift of discernment was as common as that of prophecy. Let the others judge, discern. All spirit-filled believers are in measure able to judge vocal gifts, operations on the basis of whether they are spiritually edifying to the body. The exercise of gifts is not infallible. If an utterance, prophecy, or interpretation of tongues is not received, the speaker should not be offended or unteachable, but should humbly pray for better sensitivity to the Spirit and for more wisdom in the use of his gift. On the other hand, believers should heed the admonition of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-20. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecies. Careful scriptural teaching on spiritual gifts will avoid immature and misguided manifestations on one hand, and fear, distress, and quenching the Spirit on the other hand. It should be noted that the gift of discerning of spirits is not that of judging people, but rather the spirit behind the manifestation, whether holy, evil, or human. 8. Kinds of tongues. This is literally kinds of tongues in Greek, gene glosson. The term kinds doubtless refers to the fact that there are new tongues and tongues of men and angels, 1 Corinthians 13:1. Some tongues are human languages, as on the day of Pentecost, to show that the gospel was for all races and nations. Some tongues are of heavenly origin, of angels used for praise and prayer where the mind is superseded, 1 Corinthians 14:2 and Romans 8:26 and 27. Of these last, it is said that the speaker in tongues speaks to God, speaks mysteries, and that no one understands him. Tongues as a sign, 1 Corinthians 14:22, may be known languages by which witness is given to unsaved. Since the unsaved may be of any one of a number of tongues, there must therefore be various kinds. If one employs tongues only in private devotion, the kind is not important. They will probably be new tongues or spirit-given heavenly tongues. It is very important to observe that there are several different uses of tongues. Paul H. Hamar, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, remarks, "There is an acknowledged difference between tongues as the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and in individual praying, and tongues as a gift, as used here. The difference is basically one of purpose. One is to edify one's own spirit, the other to edify the congregation." When the Apostle Paul asked the question in 1 Corinthians 12:30, "Do all speak in tongues?" Admittedly, the form of the question infers a negative answer. Paul is not speaking here of tongues as the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but of tongues as a congregational gift accompanied by interpretation. Not all had the gift of tongues, but all that had received tongues as the evidence of their baptism. Those who have the gift of tongues may employ to speak with God in praise, sing in the Spirit, or to speak forth in the congregation. However, public tongue speaking must be interpreted. If no interpreter is present, the one with the gift of tongues must hold his peace. Those who have a gift of tongues for public manifestation should pray for the accompanying gift of interpretation of tongues. If the tongue speaker does not know whether an interpreter is present, He must be ready to interpret his own utterance, 1 Corinthians 14, 13-28. Apparently, tongues together with interpretation are equivalent to prophecy, except that tongues are addressed to God, while prophecy is addressed to the congregation, 1 Corinthians 14:5, 14 and 15, Acts 2:11, 10, 45 and 46. The following is a summary of the discernibly different uses of speaking in tongues. 1. The initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:4, 10, 45, 46, and 19:6. 2. Praying in tongues as a prayer language when the mind is impassed and the spirit communes directly with God. 1 Corinthians 14:2, 14 and 15, Romans 8:26 and 27. 3. Tongues with interpretation for the spiritual edification of the church body, 1 Corinthians 14:5, 26 through 28. 4. Tongues together with the interpretation as a sign to the unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 14:22. The tongues may be a sign of the presence of God, or they may act as a sign when the unbeliever understands the language spoken. 9. The interpretation of tongues. The word interpretation translates the Greek word hermeneia, from which is derived the English words hermeneutics, the science of interpretation. The Greek word may have several meanings, translation, explanation, or interpretation. The verb form of the word is used several times, John 1:38, 42, 9:7, Hebrews 7:2, but it has the meaning of translation. The noun form hermeneia is found only in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, where it is used of the spiritual gift. The basic meaning of the word suggests more than the idea of explanation or interpretation. It need not therefore be expected that the interpretation of an utterance in tongues be a literal word-by-word translation, but rather an explanation of the meaning. The interpretation may reasonably vary in length from the utterance in tongues. Where the gift of tongues is exercised for the edification of the church, or as a sign gift, interpretation is essential. For Paul limits the gift of tongues to personal prayer language, unless accompanied by interpretation, 1 Corinthians 14:13, 27, and 28. Those who have the gift of tongues are admonished to pray for the gift of interpretation, 1 Corinthians 14:13. The question often arises concerning the number of interpreters to be used in any one service. Verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, "If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret." The Greek word for one is hish, which is the number one. The Greek word can have the meaning someone, but since the numbers two and three are used in the same verse, it could be followed that one is used as a number which is its usual meaning. Not all the versions and the commentators are in agreement on the clause, "let one interpret." The new NIV renders it, "someone must interpret." Nevertheless, King James, New King James Verse, RSV and NSAB Amplified, Weiss Expanded Translation, Rotherham's Emphasized Bible, Marsh's Interlinear translate Heish as the number one. Commentators such as Grushite, Alfred, Gaudette, Clark, and Plummer take the word one as a number. Pentecostal and charismatic writers are not agreed. Therefore, one should not be dogmatic. If one person is to interpret in any one service, it does not follow that the same interpreter will function at all services. More will be said in the next section about prophecies, tongues, and interpretations. 10. Helps. Antilimpsis. That the nine gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12:8 and 10 do not constitute the total number of charismata is indicated in a summary at the close of the same chapter, verse 28 and 30. Paul lists three ministry gifts: apostles, founders of the church, prophets who exhort and motivate the church, and teachers or pastors who instruct the church. After that, six of the charismata are listed: miracles, healings, helps, governments, tongues, and interpretation. Two of the charismata are new to the list: helps and governments. The word helps comes from the Greek word antilimpsis, which is used only once in the New Testament. The verb form antilambano occurs in three passages, one of which gives good indication of the meaning of the gift. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support," antilambano, "the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive," Acts 20:35. Paul was addressing the Ephesian elders, into whose hands the care of the Ephesian church was being placed. They were charged to feed the flock in the word of God, verse 28, and to fortify against false teachers, verse 29 and 30. But they were instructed also to carry on a ministry of helps, antilimpsis, for the benefit of those who were weak physically and economically, that is, who were sick and needy. Just anyone cannot be assigned to a ministry to the sick and poor. One must have a spiritual burden for and a God-given love for the needy and afflicted. Human compassion helps, but to this must be added a divine call. And the Spirit's anointing, for without such spiritual endowment, one will quickly become discouraged and critical. Besides, the ministry to the weak does not merely administer spiritual sedatives and stopgap relief. It leads out of weakness to strength. Hebrews 11:34. For every kind of work which the church must do, God has supplied a corresponding spiritual gift. 11. Governments, kubernesis. As in the case of the gift of helps, the Greek word translated governments, kubernesis, is found only once in the New Testament. However, the noun form, kybernetes, occurs twice, referring each time to a shipmaster, Acts 27:11, Revelation 18:17. The verb form means to steer, to be a helmsman. The gift of governments then would seem to describe a spiritual capacity given to certain leaders to steer the church through storms and difficult seas. On the basis of 1 Timothy 5:17, some have reasoned that there were two classes of elders in the church, teaching elders and ruling elders. It has been suggested that some of the elders who did not minister the word may have exercised their ministry in the business and structural affairs of the church. Paul Hamar suggests it may have involved elders who did not labor in the word and doctrine, but who were charged with some form of leadership and distribution. The modern term cybernetics, which comes from the same Greek word, is the name for the science of control over operations and processed by means of computers. The church has need of leaders whom the Holy Spirit can use to keep the church on an even keel.